month of January, Isaiah and idolatry. Next Sunday, we will be having a visiting preacher from England, the Grace Baptist Mission Coordinator, si Brother Paul Baring, na kung saan ay ngayon po'y nangangaral sa iglesia ni Pastor Aris Liboro, at next Sunday ay dadalhin naman ni Brother Ruben sa ating kalagitnaan. At ngayong umaga po, gaya ng binasa sa atin, turn your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 42. Bilang pagbabalik tanaw, aking pong sinimulan ang series ng mensaheng ito sa pagbibigay ng sharp contrast, paghahambing patungkol sa tunay na Diyos at sa huwad na Diyos. And then the following second Sunday, it's about Psalms, Isaiah 46 verse 10, na ang itinakda ng Diyos ay hindi magmamaliw, tiyak na magaganap. Ito po'y pagpapakita, what God had decree, it will prevail, and what God had decree is always right. It will stand. Kahit po sa perspektibo ng tao, sa paningin ng tao, ay tila baga parang pangit, mali. Subalit sa karunungan ng Diyos, sa mga taong nagmamahal sa Diyos at nagtitiwala sa Diyos, ito pa rin ang mananaig, ang kabutihan ng Diyos. And last Sunday, nakita po natin that there is no other God besides Him. He is the first and the last. At ngayong umaga, ang mensaheng ating pag-aaralan ay nais ko pong hanguin dito po sa verse 8. But bago po natin talakayin ang buong verse, ang himay-himayin ang verse 8, nais ko pong tingnan natin ang konteksto. Ang chapter 42 po na kung saan dito nakabilang ang ating talatang pag-aaralan ay kinikilala po na isa sa apat na tinatawag na Isaiah's Servant Songs. Meron pong apat na servant songs ito. Ito nga po yung una, Isaiah 42. Ang ikalawa ay Isaiah 45, Isaiah 50, at ang ikahuli ay Isaiah 53. These are the four servant songs na kung saan the songs speaks about the servant, which is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. At kung ating puntitingnan dito po sa kabanatang 42, sa verse 1 to verse 3, makikita natin dito in your headings, the Lord's chosen servant. Siya po ang lingkod na kung saan ay kanyang itinalaga. Sabi dito sa verse 1, I have put my spirit upon him, he will bring forth justice to all nation. There is the description of this servant, verses 1 to 3. And then in verse 4 to verse 5 or verse 7, pinakita po dito yung pong kanyang commissioning. Kinukomission siya ng Diyos Ama upang tupdin at gawin ang bagay na kanyang tungkulin. Pagdating po sa verse 8, ito po ang nais ko pong i-highlight ngayong umaga, pinapakita po dito na dapat po ang lahat ng tao ay lumayo sa Diyos-Diyosan. Verse 8 tells us to flee from idolatry. God alone deserves our worship. That we should flee from any form of idolatry. Whether ito po ay physical idolatry, spiritual idolatry, o yung pong mga kasalanan na siya pong naghahari sa ating buhay na minsan ito na po ang ating sinusunod. All forms of idolatry. And then binanggit po dito yung pong palasak na kasalanan during the Old Testament. I gave no praise to curved idols. These are wooden idols, pictures, frames, na ginagamit po na niluluhuran, iniilawan, benevenerate ng Babylonia during their time. At sa umaga pong ito, bakit po sinasabi ditong huwag daw tayong yuyukod, huwag daw po tayong maglilingkod o sasamba sa anumang Diyos-Diyosan. May tatlong timeless truth. There are three important timeless truth about God in verse 8 that we ought to learn and to understand. First, you ought to know God's name. Secondly, God's glory. And thirdly, God's praise. Ito po ang tatlong simpleng katotohanan that is what we call timeless truth. Ibig po sabihin, hindi po ito katotohanan sa panahon lamang ng kultura at panahon ng Babylonia. It transcends time. It transcends culture. Kaya po hanggang sa panahon natin ngayon, we, the generations of disbelievers, ought to recognize and acknowledge God's name. The word I am the Lord, or the phrase I am the Lord, particularly the capital L-O-R-D, it is a very significant name para po sa bayan ng Israel. Bakit po? Una sa lahat, ito pong salitang Lord ay nagsimula pang itong banggitin sa Genesis chapter 4 verse 26. Na ang sabi dito, men began to call on the name of the Lord. The word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, has been mentioned in the book of Genesis alone 162 times. So napakaraming beses binanggit sa Genesis pa lang ito. At ito ay isang pangalan na may kaugnayan sa tinatawag na covenant community. Remember, ito pong pangalang Lord ay associated with the forefathers of Israel. The God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Nung matapos po ang patriarchs, here comes the book of Genesis, Exodus. Muli pong inulit ng Diyos ang pangalang ito. Bakit? Sapagkat may bagong henerasyon na. Remember yung time ni Moses na it's a new generation, there was already an oppression by the Egyptians because of famine, kaya naman sila nalipat doon, di ba? At alam natin si Joseph ang ginamit ng Diyos upang i-preserve ang nation Israel from the 7 years of famine. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, turn your Bibles. In Exodus chapter 3, this is the famous saying or event, the burning bush. Verse 14 and 15, anong sabi po dito? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generation. Chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out of under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from the slavery to them, and I will redeem you with the outstretched arm and with the great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, has brought you out from the under the burdens of the Egyptian. I will bring you into the land that I sworn that I have give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for the possession. I am the Lord. So makikita po natin itong pangako ng isang covenant God. Siya po yung nangako. Siya yung mataas. Nangako po siya sa isang vassal, dun po sa isang slave servant. Nangako po siya. At yung pangako niyang ito ay wala hong kinalaman kung ano ang magiging performance nung mababang vassal na kanyang pinangakuan. Of course, dinideal ng Panginoon ito. May pagtutuwid siya. Kaya nga po, nais ko ipakita at paintindi sa inyo, ito pong henerasyon ng Israelites na maa-undergo for the 70 years of captivity, this is a new generation. This is a new kind of people. And yet, makikita po natin kung paano diniliber ng Diyos ang kanilang ninuno from the Egyptians, he is now that they will be again captive by a different nation, Babylon, and yet the same God is giving the promise. Iisang Diyos ang nangangako. Ibang tao, ibang henerasyon, ibang panahon, isang lahi, ibang panahon lang, subalit iisang Diyos ang nangako. Paihintulutan ko na dumaan kayo sa captivity. Uusigin kayo, lulupigin kayo, pahihirapan kayo, subalit ibabalik ko kayo sa lupang pangako. All of this has been an orchestration from God. And that is that example of what we say, decree ng Diyos. Patungkol dito sa pangalang I am ng Diyos na kanyang ginamit, the word I am, it refers to Yahweh, the God. But it is also a personal tone. Diba? Pag sinabing I am, it is a first person na kausap mo. Hindi ibang tao, hindi second person, hindi third person, kung hindi nasa first person. Pinapakita po dito a personal and a nearness of God to His people. Unlike po the Diyos-Diyosan na hindi na nga gumagalaw, hindi pa nakakakita, hindi pa nakakarinig, hindi ho maaaring i-associate the concept of personal and nearness of God. And that is one great difference. Aside from the difference na yung totoong Diyos, He can decree and from the beginning, while false God cannot do that, but here we see the name of God, I am. This is my name forever. It connotes the nearness of God and His concern for man. Kaya ito pong pangalang itong I am na ito, throughout the pages of the unfolding of biblical progression, ay makikita po natin na hindi nagbago ang pangalan. Hindi po nagbago ang katangian ng Diyos. It is a redemptive and testamentary revelation of God to His people. Kahit bago na yung henerasyon, nagpapakilala pa rin siya, ako pa rin yung Diyos ng inyong ninuno. Ako pa rin ang Diyos na nangako, dadalhin ko kayo, aakayin ko kayo. The implication of the name I am is the fulfillment of the final testament of peace. When God, who has been present from the first and even to the last. Kaya isa sa mga pangalan ding binanggit niya, di ba? I am the first and I am the last. Yung tinalakay natin last Sunday. Pinapakita dong walang in-between sa akin. Walang namamagitan sa akin. And what is also significant about the name I am in the Old Testament, pagdating mo sa Bagong Tipan, the word Lord is in Greek vocabulary. The word Lord in Greek, which is kurios, is ginamit po na title ng Panginoong Jesucristo, but the term or the name I am in the Old Testament ay inangkin din ni Jesus. Yun po yung kagilagilalas dito. Yun po yung kumbaga parang nakakahulog bangko. Mauhulog ka sa bangko sapagkat kilala nila si Jesus na anak ng isang karpintero. Kilala nila si Jesus na lumaki sa Nazareth. And yet, when he opened up his ministry at the age of 30, he began preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And what is more remarkable in the Gospel of John, the term I am, inassociate niya sa kanyang sarili. Not only once, not only twice, not only thrice, but 7 times. Imagine niyo, 7 beses niyang inangkin ang titulong pangalan ng Diyos na I am. Kaya kung babasahin niyo ang Gospel of John, no, kung you have that time, pag kayo'y nagkaroon ng Bible reading o dumaan kayo sa Gospel of John, hindi niyo dapat ma-miss yung I am saying ni Jesus Christ na 7 times na naulit sa Gospel of John. To recall it, sinabi niya ritong, I am the light of the world. I am the living water. I am the bread from heaven. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. I am the resurrection and the life. Nakita niyo po yung punto rito, yung I am na sinasabi ni Propeta Isaiah dito sa Old Testament, pagdating sa bagong tipan, now Jesus turned into Him. Pero ano po ba ibig sabihin ito? Modalistic lang po ba dati si Jesus Christ, Old Testament, siya yung Ama? Ngayon pagdating sa bagong tipan, siya yung Anak? Eh yun po yung paliwanag ng ibang kulto eh. Hindi po. Kung titingnan po natin, God the Father is distinct with Jesus Christ. But on the very plain level, Jesus exclusively claimed that name, I am. They are 2 different distinct persons and yet they are on the same status and condition. They are on the same essence. Kaya nga po, ang turo ng Biblia, ano? There is one God exists in 3 distinct different person. Iisang Diyos, ngunit may 3 magkakaibang persona. Ang Diyos Ama, ang Panginoong Hesukristo, and then later on, ang Banal na Espiritu. Hindi po ito nagpapalit-palit na parang change of mode or state. From water, pagka tumigas, naging solid, naging yelo. Pag pinakuluan mo yung yelo, magiging water, and then later on, magiging vapor, magiging gas. That is oneness. That is modalism. Here we find there is a distinct personality of the Father and the Son. Turn your Bibles in these following verses. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. Anong sabi dito? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 6. Romans 15, verse 6. Romans 15, verse 6. Ano sabi po dito? And that together you may be with one voice, glorifying God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that the conjunction end? It separates one thought to another. God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sino ang Ama ni Jesucristo? Yung Diyos. Sa talatang verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Ano pong sabi? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the idea? Inihiwalay ang Diyos kay Hesukristo. They are 2 different distinct person. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 2 to 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2 to 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So bilang maliwanag pong implikasyon nito, si Jesus na second person of the Godhead in the Old Testament, when He made the incarnation sa New Testament, ginamit niya ang pangalan ng Diyos. Isang maliwanag na patunay, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is affirmed by the Scripture. Pinatototohanan ng salita ng Diyos, ng Biblia, ang pagka-Diyos ni Jesus. Hindi ho nagkamali si Juan sa kanyang gospel, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Napilit na sinasabing hindi. Iba yan. Pilit na itinatanggi, subalit gaya ng binigay kong ilang example sa inyong mga talata, napakaraming mga ebidensya na magtuturo at hindi maaaring i-deny, and we came to a logical conclusion that Jesus is not a created being. He is not a creature, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Iglesia ni Cristo teaches. But He is a distinct person. Not two gods, one God in three different distinct person. Kaya yung mga false god, they cannot even claim their name. In fact, sila pa ang binibigyan ng pangalan ng mga taong sumasamba sa kanila. Second lesson, not only affirm the deity of Christ in having the name, but secondly, we must appreciate the supreme sacrifice of the Son of God. I-appreciate mo, pasalamatan mo ang voluntaryong pagsunod ng Panginoong Hesukristo sa plano ng Ama, sa plano ng kaligtasan. It was planned before the foundation of the world. There's already an eternal covenant, the covenant of redemption, an agreement between God the Father and God the Son. And the doctrine of incarnation is the humiliation stage of Christ. Ito yung pagpapakababa ni Kristo. Nagpakababa in a sense na talagang naging tao. Niyurakan. Inalipusta. Hanggang saan? Binugbog, sinaktan. Tumanggap ng napakaraming latay. 39 lashes sa katawan. But the second person of the Godhead voluntarily makes sacrifice for the atoning sins of God's people, which is now the church. Ang kalipunan ng mga mananampalataya. And mind you, babalik ang Panginoon sa Kristo in the same manner na umakyat siya in the first century. As God-man. As God-man. Kaya ito ang hamon sa mga bawat makasalanan na patuloy na skeptic. Hindi kumikilala sa pagka-Diyos ni Kristo na siya ang tagapagligtas. I invite you, every sinner, you examine yourself within the pages of the Scripture, that the internal evidence of Scripture, and see it for yourself, that you may be convinced. Make a research with all the available tools right now and information. God's name, I Am, na inangkin ni Jesucristo sa bagong tipan. Secondly, God's glory. Ano sabi niya uli? As we go back in Isaiah 42 verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other. The glory of God is a magnificent biblical theme in Scripture. The glory of God addresses every biblical section in the period of the Scripture. The glory of God is evident in creation. Genesis 1 and 2. Psalms 19, verse 1 and 2. The heaven declares the glory of God. Pero hindi lamang doon nahayag ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos sa paglalang. Maging sa paglikha niya ng pinaka-crowning glory ng Panginoon. Ano? Yung topic natin sa retreat. Man created in the image and likeness of God. Psalms 8:3-5, na ang tao, ikaw, na nilikha ng Diyos sa kanyang wangis, ang korona ng kanyang kalawalhatian. Kumbaga parang ito yung aking exhibit A, ito yung aking cream of the crop. Mamamangha ka sa mga galaxy, sa mga planet, sa vast ng heavenly bodies. Pero sinabi ng Diyos, hindi yan ang aking cream of the crop. Hindi yan ang aking number one creation. Mamamangha ka sa mga maraming creatures in the depth of the sea na hanggang ngayon ay marami pang hindi natutuklas ang species ng creatures, sea creatures. Pero sabi ng Panginoon, huwag yan ang kamamanghaan mo. Ang kamanghaan mo ay ang tao. Sapagkat ang tao lamang ang nilikha ko ayon sa aking wangis at larawan. Sila ang may kakayahang makapag-communicate sa akin. Sila ang may kapangyarihan at kakayahang tumawag sa akin. Sila ang creature na binigyan ko ng pahintulot na lumapit sa akin, magkaroon ng personal na ugnayan sa akin. Pero anong ginagawa ng tao? Ibang ugnayan ang kanyang ginagawa. Tao sa tao, kapwa sa kapwa. Minsan ibinababa pa niya, tao sa hayop. Mas mahal pa yung alagang pet kaysa sa tao. Mas nagbubuo siya ng emosyon sa kanyang pet kaysa sa tao. Saan pa nahayag ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos? Nang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos ay also nahayag sa incarnation event ni Kristo. Sa kanyang pagsilang, sa kanyang ministeryo, sa kanyang kamatayan, at sa kanyang muling pagkabuhay, natanyag at nalantad at naipahayag ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos. Ikaapat na nahayag ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos. In the Old Testament, remember that God made a promise. You created the tabernacle with this signs, with this size, with this material, with this formation. Lahat ng directives nando doon. Anong sabi ng Diyos? After which I will dwell and my presence and my glory will reside on this tabernacle. And biblical theology says as what? From tabernacle to temple, pagdating sa New Testament, the church. The church, the regenerate community, the group of believers that made a covenant to one another, siya ang naging spiritual temple ng bagong tipan. Sa ating pagtitipon ngayon, tumatahan ang Diyos. Tumataan si Great I Am sa atin at ang kanyang kaluwalhatian ay namamalas natin kahit hindi natin nakikita. Hindi mo ba napapansin yun? Nais kong paintindi sa iyo yun. Na sa tuwing ikay nagpa-participate, sumusunod ka, ginagalang mo ang araw ng Panginoon. Nagiging kabahagi ka ng iglesia at sa ating pagtitipon, kahit sa maliit na bilang, sa dalawa o tatlo na nagkakatipon sa kanyang pangalan, siya'y tumatahan, sumasama at ang kanyang espesyal na presensya ay suma sa atin. At tayo ay nagiging bahagi ng kanyang kaluwalhatian. We are not free to do what is right in our own eyes, in our own sight, as the heathens and unbelievers do. Diba ganyan naman ginagawa ng mga walang pagkakakilala sa Diyos eh. Yung mga taong walang pakialam sa salita ng Diyos, walang pakialam sa turo ng Diyos, walang pakialam sa sinasabi ng Diyos. Sila ngayon yung mga nagbababad sa higaan ngayon. Sila ngayon yung nasa mall. Sila ngayon yung mga naglalaro. They're spending the Lord's Day with their own leisure. But we are called and saved to do what is right in God's sight. Kaya mga kapatid, mga professing believers, bilang isang maliwanag na aplikasyon, be discerning in engaging with your peers. Make sure that you are giving glory, honor, and praise to God. Sa group of people na sinasamahan ninyo, sa workplace, sa school, sa community, the wholesome talk and conversation, is it pleasing, giving glory to God? Di bang sabi nga sa 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. Sabi ni J.C. Ryle, and I quote, if friends will not walk in a narrow path with us, we must not walk in the broad way that please and accommodate. We must not walk in a broad way that is not pleasing to God. Kung meron daw tayong mga kaibigan na hindi sumasama sa atin sa makipot na daan, eh huwag din tayong sasama sa paglakad sa malapad nilang daan. Kaya nga, suriin mo kapatid ang iyong circle of friends. Kung ang circle of friends mo ay hindi mananampalataya, mag-isip-isip ka. Kasi most of the time, yan ang mag-iimpluwensya sa'yo. Unconsciously, magagaya mo yung mga habit and attitude at character nila. Ang ganda na sabi ni J.C. Ryle, if your friends will not walk in the narrow path with you, we must not walk in the broad way with them. Anong dapat natin gawin dito? Ang isang practical na bagay dito, i-develop mo, i-cultivate mo, i-enhance mo ang mga believing friends, trusted friends, silang dapat mong pagtiwalaan. Di ba nasabi ko nga minsan, kahit nga yung mga pamilya natin na hindi mananampalataya, kasama mo yan dito lang sa lupa. Pero yung kapatid mo sa pananampalataya, hindi mo lang kasama sa loob ng iglesia, maging sa kabilang buhay at sa bagong langit at bagong lupa, kasama mo sila. Whether you like it or not, you will stick with them. Because you belong in one people of God. You belong with one God, with one Savior, no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So if your friends will not walk in the narrow path with you, we must not walk in the broad path with them. Evaluate mo ang iyong sarili. Evaluate mo ang circle of friends mo ngayon. Kailangan ko bang gumawa ng reforms? Pastor, medyo mahirap yan. Totoo. Mahirap sumunod sa kalooban ng Panginoon. Sa walang kakayanang biyaya na sumunod sa biyaya sa kalooban ng Panginoon. Bakit? Kasi ang Diyos ang magbibigay ng kakayanan yan eh. By your own, hindi mo magagawa yan. It takes the enabling grace and power of God that you may cultivate. Diba? And dun papasok yung wisdom ng spiritual community. Thirdly and finally, not only we'll see in verse 8, God's name, God's glory, but thirdly and finally, God's praise. Nor the praise to curb idols. Kung papansinin niyo po sa verse 5 pa lang, meron pong tatlong dahilan kung bakit po tayo dapat nagpupuri sa Diyos. Una, we praise God because of His creation. In verse 5, makikita niyo yan. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched out them and spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, the spirit to those who walk in it. Here we see kapuri-puri ang Diyos dahil sa kanyang paglilikha. Yung mga bagay na ginagamit ng tao in the realm of common grace. Kaya dito, mananampalataya at hindi, obligado na siyang magpuri sa Diyos eh. Diba? Bakit? Kasi nakikinabang na siya sa mga paglilikha ng Diyos. Diba? Yung tubig, yung kuryente, yung technology, healthcare, trabaho, gamot, lahat ng anumang usapin dito under the sun is the blessing of God to humanity, to mankind. At ang recipient nito ay mga mananampalataya at hindi mananampalataya. Dito pa lamang, may panawagan na. Meron na kagad obligasyon ang tao. Aside from the fact na siya'y nilikha ng Diyos, ayon sa kanyang wangis at larawan. The Lord God is our Creator. Not only our Creator, but He is the life giver and the sustainer of all. He directs all things. Isaiah 35, turn your Bibles in Isaiah 35 verse 16. Or 37, Isaiah 37 verse 16. Anong sabi dito? Isaiah 37 verse 16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. A declaration na ang lahat ng papuri, lahat ng karangalan ay dapat sa Kanya. Binanggit nga ng ating deacon kanina sa panguna sa pananambahan, di ba? Yung vapor na tumataas, dinikri niya yun. There is the ongoing activity in creation, yung photosynthesis, yung chlorophyll, kung bakit nagiging green ang leaves ng plants. Yung morphopurposis ng from cocoon, di ba? From cocoon to bud and then later on caterpillar. Yung different phase of changes na nangyayari sa creature. Ito'y gawa ng Diyos. The productivity of creatures, even the farming na binabanggit sa Isaiah 40:28 verse 23 to 26. Yung simpleng pag-aararo ng loop ng isang magsasaka sa bukid, involve ang Diyos dito. In fact, in verse 5, if you go back again to Isaiah 42 verse 5, merong ginamit dyan na apat na participle in verse 5. Created the heavens, stretch out them out, spread out the earth, gives breath to the people. In theology, this is the goodness of God in creation. Ang kabutihan ng Diyos sa kanyang nilikha at mga nilikha. Na ang bawat nilikha ay undeserving. Even the oxygen you breathe, even the sunlight, the drop of rain in the sky, the provision of each of our family on our food table is all from God. And therefore, He ought to be praised. Bilang hamon at application, have you wondered and realized the goodness of God in your life? Inoobserbahan mo ba? Did you count your blessing? There's a hymn, di ba? Count your blessing, name them one by one. Did you pause for a moment in your life and consider and think the goodness of God in your life? Common grace pa lang pinag-uusapan natin dito, mga kapatid. Kasi creation pa lang to eh. But secondly, we ought to praise God because not only of His creation, but of His redemption. The special grace. na kung saan tayong mga mananampalataya, tayong nakaunawa ng Ebanghelyo, ang recipient nito. Tayong mga tumalikod sa panawagan ng pagsisisi at pananampalataya, ikaw ang binigyan ng Diyos ng espesyal na biyayang ito. At doon mo makikita yung wisdom ng Panginoon na binukod niya ang isa sa pitong araw. Seventh day sa Old Testament, pagdating sa Bagong Tipan, first day of the week. And that is the wisdom that God has given us one day in our week that we can reflect, that we could think, we could worship, we could praise Him. But how do we act in return nowadays? We don't mind if it is the Lord's day. We don't simply care. Ang pumapasok sa isip natin, there is the next Lord's day. There's the next week. I need to focus to my work. I need to focus with my additional income in this Sunday. I need to play. I need to rest. I need to engage in my favorite leisure enjoyment. But have you come to think of it? That your life, even the very breath that you have, is in the very hands of God. Pwede niyang tanggalin ito anytime. Walang nakakagarantiya sa atin na maaari tayong magkita pa next week. Pero sa bawat Lord's Day na pinagkakaloob niya sa iyo, ito ang araw na pinagkakaloob niya sa iyo para purihin, sambahin at pasalamatan siya. The third and final praise of God, not only in His creation, not only in His redemption, but His daily providence. Yung araw-araw na paggabay ng Diyos, divine providence is the governance of God by which He, His love, His wisdom, His cares to direct all things in the universe. Ang doktrina ng providensya, ito ay ang Diyos ang may complete control. Na kahit dumarating ka at dumadaan ka sa mga events ng buhay mo na hindi mo mapaliwanag o minsan ayaw talaga natin, human nature, inaayawan natin yan. Ayaw natin ng sakit, ayaw natin ng sakuna, ayaw natin ng karamdaman, ayaw natin ng kamatayan, ayaw natin ng kalungkutan. But the divine providence of God asserts that God is sovereign and He is in complete control. He is controlling the universe. He is controlling the physical world. He is controlling the affairs of the nation. He is controlling human destiny, even the success and failure of man. This is the doctrine that stands direct opposite to the idea that the universe is governed by chance or fate. That through divine providence, God accomplishes His will according to His wisdom. Walang makakapigil nito. Walang makakasupil nito. Walang makakapaniubra nito. Kaya bilang hamon sa mga mananampalataya, knowing that God is sovereign, we could rest our head, for He is our source of comfort and assurance. Sabi nga ni Augustine of Hippo, without God in Christ, what I am but a guide to my own destruction. Kung hindi dahil kay Kristo, hindi dahil sa special na biyaya ng Diyos, sino ako kung hindi ang aking buhay ay patungo sa tiyak na kapahamakan? Tanging ang meritong ginawa lamang ni Kristo ang tanging solidong pundasyon at garantiya at pag-asa na ako'y mabubuhay muli mula sa mga patay at makakasama si Kristo magpakailanman. Kaya tayo mga mananampalataya, we ought to stand firm and be prepared dito sa mga exclusive claim ni Jesus na siya ang I am. Siya'y totoo, the one and only true God. Because Jesus is the only Savior and He is the only one qualified to save. That's why. He is the only person who is qualified to save. He is the only sinless one who is both God and man. He is the only one who walks in the valley of shadow of death and came out victoriously because of His resurrection as Lord and King. May kilala ba kayong Kristiyano dumaan sa lilim ng yungib ng kamatayan tapos nakalampas? Wala, di ba? Lahat tayong mga mananampalataya, dadaan tayo sa lingib ng kamatayan. Meaning to say, lahat tayong mga mananampalataya kay Kristo mamamatay. Pero yung Kristo na ating sinampalatayanan, dumaan din siya sa lilib ng libis ng kamatayan. Pero pagdating sa dulo, siya'y nabuhay na muli matapos ng tatlong araw. At kanyang pinangakuan na sa aking pagbabalik, sa aking consummation, I will take them risen and have the rewards. Sa mga unbelievers, babala. This doctrine is a wake-up call for you to repent and to put your trust in Christ hanggat may pagkakataon. Bakit? Sino ka para isipin mong makakaalpas ka at makakaligtas ka sa Diyos na to? Wake up! Stop worshiping and serving false God. Your religious idols are worthless and useless. You cannot run and hide to the one and true living God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Either you acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior in your life now, or be prepared to suffer in hell with His eternal wrath. Choose whom you will serve and worship, Jesus Christ or your false gods. May the Lord enables you and enlighten your hearts and mind, and may He pitied you to cast your soul upon Christ for the forgiveness of your sin of idolatry and all forms of sin. Lumapit ka kay Kristo. Magtiwala ka sa ginawa niya sa krus. Tayo manalangin. Aming dakilang Diyos, sa aming pagwawakas sa isang buwang series ng pag-aaral na ito, naway magligtas ka sa aming kalagitnaan, babae at lalaki, matanda, bata, magulang o anak namin, Panginoon, kumilos ka sa pamamagitan ng kapangyarihan ng banal na Espiritu. Tawagin sila sa tunay na pagsisisi at pananampalataya sa pangalan ng Kristo Jesus. Amen.